This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, Tom.
How are you?
Did you forget how the show goes?
No, I was just trying to mix it up a little bit, change the...
By having nothing to say?
Keep everybody on their toes. They think, oh, I know how this old show goes.
Well.
And then when they're listening, they're like, is this the same show? The guy's saying the intro with a different cadence.
This show's even worse than usual.
Look, I tune in only because it's the same thing every day. Keeps me grounded.
Every day. Imagine this was a daily show.
To some people, it is.
Explain more.
I mean, if you're listening to like back catalog once a day.
That's true.
I guess it could be a daily
any
show.
Any entertainment on demand can be daily, huh?
Yeah, if you think about it.
I've watched Star Wars, The Mandalorian, every day since it's come out.
There's only one episode so far, too.
Yeah, so I've watched that 2 days.
All right, well, it's a daily show to you, then.
Exactly.
It's like the morning news.
Yeah, it's like the Daily Show. Craig Kilborn's in it.
Craig Kilborn's not in it. And Tim, you'll be surprised to hear Craig Kilborn is no longer the host of the Daily Show.
What?
Yeah.
Nah.
Do you remember when people were like, when Craig Kilborn left the Daily Show and Jon Stewart started and people were like mad?
Yeah. They were like, well, what's going to become of the Daily Show now?
Yeah, it'll be a shadow of itself with Jon Stewart instead of old Craig Kilborn.
Guess what? It might have been a shadow of itself, but that shadow upstaged the man whose body was casting the shadow.
Huh? Oh, like the old 30s comic character, the Shadow.
No, I was thinking more
famously played by Alec Baldwin.
I saw that movie. Tom?
I never saw The Shadow. Have I talked about The Shadow on this?
We're getting off to a roaring start this week.
You know about this? The guy who created The Shadow, he did it in this apart. It's like right in Greenwich Village. We can go there tonight.
I'd rather not. So it's the comic book.
The comic book The Shadow.
From like the 30s?
Yeah, it was from like maybe even, yeah, like the 30s. It was like a comic strip before comic books. Maybe
right.
There were comic books. Maybe he wrote novels. I don't know. This guy, apparently he had to write, I don't understand the logistics around it, but he had to write like a lot of Shadow content. I think he wrote novels about the Shadow,
too.
There
were pulp novels
that
began in the 1930s.
Right.
Walter B. Gibson.
Yeah. Walt Gibson.
Yeah.
So he would just work on these things like crazy in his apartment. And then later on when he like, I don't know if he died there or he left there or whatever, that apartment was haunted by the Shadow himself.
It was haunted, Tom?
Haunted by the Shadow.
How so?
Like people would see a ghost, you know how people see ghosts? They would see a ghost, but the ghost wasn't Walt, it was the Shadow. And the theory is that Walt put so much focus on the Shadow while he was in there that he somehow manifested it into the real world.
That adds up.
Well, I mean, it makes as much sense as ghosts.
Yeah, which is none.
Right. Actually, it makes more sense than ghosts in my mind.
Tom, I went to look up some facts about the Shadow to fact check you on this.
Is the first fact that he knows?
No, I got sidetracked, and now I'm watching a video of a dog playing Jenga.
How do you get sidetracked that quickly?
I don't know. The internet, man. The internet has broken all of our brains, but this dog is good at Jenga.
How?
He took a piece out of the bottom.
Oh, pushes and then pulls on
the
other side?
It's the big Jenga. Oh, you know how big Jenga is a thing now?
Yeah, yeah.
Big Jenga is upsetting to me with those big pieces. Because when it falls...
it's dangerous.
No, it's just so loud.
Yeah.
It's annoying. Because I'm never the one playing big Jenga.
I've never been asked to.
I know, me neither, Tom. We're always at parties, and... we have just enough clout to get invited to the party, but not enough to participate in games like Big Jenga.
Hey, can we play Big Jenga? Can we get a turn at Big Jenga?
I mean, we don't have the confidence to do that, because if we did...
No, a lot of times...
fine. And then somebody else will be like, I'm going to go get a drink. And they'll be like, well, you were playing Big Jenga.
And
who are they going to play against?
And you playing Big Jenga. Everybody else goes and does something
starts
else.
Starts playing cornhole.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were going to play Big Jenga. Mm. Or I'll be standing in what I think is next in line to play Big Jenga. But then when the game ends, somebody else just walks up and starts playing. I'm like, oh, there was a line, actually.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I'll play next. And then their game goes on too long. They're like, the party's over. Everybody leave.
That means you, Tom.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I was just going to play Big Jenga for a minute. You can play one game of Big Jenga. And then
alone.
I trip and I knock over the Big Jenga right away.
And then
I'm
you
like,
have
oh,
to put
God
it back
damn
in
it.
The
put
box.
It all back in the box now.
Big Jenga stinks.
Where do you get Big Jenga?
Fucking Big Party City.
Okay. You don't get regular Jenga at Party City.
Yeah, because you don't play regular Jenga at parties, Tom.
It's true. Huh. Anyway, how are you doing this week?
Tom, I'm feeling trim and dizzy.
Are you on a new weight loss regimen?
I am, Tom.
Oh, what is it?
I'm trying to slim down before the holidays.
You on the poop pills?
What are poop pills?
An ally stuff? It just makes you poop a lot?
No, I've been trying to eat healthy food.
Well, I guess that'll work, too.
None of the carbohydrates?
Yeah, protein.
Trying to eat protein.
Is that hard because you're a vegetarian?
It is, because it's beans and lentils and stuff.
Yeah.
It's fine, but I also find that I don't want to eat healthy food, so I'm just not eating enough food, I think.
Right.
And so I'm a little dizzy all the time.
Well, that's good. That's a good way to be.
But I'm feeling trimmer.
Have you actually lost weight?
I don't have a scale.
Then what are you, how are you measuring success or failure based on how dizzy you are at any given time?
It's based on, I can tell if I'm losing weight.
You can?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can tell if I can tell after a while if I'm losing or gaining weight.
I mean, one
but
would
I don't know
have
if I
to,
can tell like day to day.
If I'm not eating, yeah, sure, not day to day, but if I'm not eating carbs and sugar and stuff for 2 weeks, one would think that I'd be slimming down, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you should have a scale so you can check. I mean, Tim, a guy like you, you can afford a scale.
I can afford a scale, and I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know where in my home I would put it.
In the bathroom.
My bathroom doesn't have enough floor space for a scale.
They've got to have like
I'd trip over it on the way to the shower, Tom.
Yeah. They've got to have like a tiny scale by now.
But how?
Yeah. I mean, so many people are listening to this podcast right now going like, you guys are pathetic. Like, why do you live in that city? Tim's talking about how he doesn't have room for a scale. And I don't even question it because I'm like, yeah, I barely have room. Yeah. I do have a scale in my bathroom. I trip over it three times
a day. It's like one square foot.
Yeah.
You don't have one square. It's like that. No, that's one. Like 500th of my.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do, but then I'm going to have to stand on the scale while I brush my teeth.
You know what?
What?
A Murphy scale.
I was going to suggest, I mean, any scale can be a Murphy scale. You just have to tilt it up.
Yeah, but I want to build an apparatus.
Oh, build it into the wall?
Yeah. Mm. Tom, did I tell you I stayed at an Airbnb recently with a Murphy bed?
No.
It was thrilling.
Did you go inside of it at all? Did it spring up and trap you in there?
I didn't, and I was a little afraid of that.
Yeah.
But also,
well, were you afraid or did you want it to happen?
A little excited by the prospect.
Yeah, of course.
You know what? You know what I found out about Murphy beds?
What?
Not as spring-loaded as you might expect.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mostly,
I mean,
they just pull down and you put it back up and
well,
you
what if somebody's
in.
Chasing you and you want to jump into the bed and have it
that's
spring
the,
into the wall?
That's the thing. I was at an Airbnb and my plan was to do a bunch of crimes.
Right.
Run back to my Airbnb, spring the Murphy bed and get caught in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I had to call off all my crimes.
Yeah. People can't see this, but my favorite thing about recording the podcast with you is that if you get a text message, you immediately check it. You don't. I'm like, oh, Tim's picking up his phone to like turn it over, turn off the screen. Nope, he's unlocking his phone, seeing what this text message
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you want to know what this text
yeah,
message is?
Yeah, what was it?
Amp energy drink wrap. Care to earn $500 a week with Amp energy drink on your car / truck / bike / ATV / boat, etc.? Click link for more detail. Tom, this is an opportunity for me. $500 a week. If you paid me $500 a week to be
there's
here.
There's no way you can make $500 a week just
wrapping
putting
my car in an Amp energy drink.
Yeah, no.
We should bleep every time I say amp.
Okay.
This is just what they
yeah,
want.
It's my week to edit. Of course you would say that.
You should bleep all the brand names, even in the ads that we do this week.
Murphy beds. Oh, scales. What about this kind of a scale? This has to exist. What if you get like
the Richter scale, Tom?
No.
Yeah, it does exist, and it's for tragedies. So.
Like a home meat scale. Like a hook in your apartment that you can just dangle from and then see how much you weigh.
I mean, I already have a meat hook in my apartment.
Right. You just gotta get the attachment that has a scale on it.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea, Tom. How are you doing this week?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Tim, this week we're talking role-playing games.
People who play roles in the context of a game.
Yeah.
No, games in which people play roles.
I recently rewatched The Game. Remember
starring,
that movie?
Starring Mickey Douglas? Mickey
yeah,
Duggs?
Michael Douglas. That movie is not...
Is that a Davy Finch?
Yeah, that's one of Davy Finch's first movies.
Nice.
I think after Alien 3, he did The Game and then Fight Club.
Hmm.
That movie, it like holds up on a lot of levels. Story wise, it does not hold up.
In terms of
when you're watching, you're like, no way. No way.
Just
like
implausible.
The way everything works is just very implausible.
You know what I thought? And spoiler alert for The Game. At the end, he jumps off the building.
Yeah.
How do they know he's going to jump off in that exact spot?
Exactly.
But that, maybe it's like a Derren Brown thing, Tom.
What do you mean?
Where he, you know, you don't know how people have been persuading the way he thinks by their
well,
way
I know
they talk.
At the end of the party, one of the actors says to him, like, oh, I'm glad you jumped because if you didn't, I was going to have to throw you off and, like, has a big laugh. So it's implied, like, they did have a backup plan. But the weird thing at the end of so anybody that hasn't seen it that doesn't mind that's spoiled, Michael Douglas he's
going to come out in 1997.
Yeah, good pull.
I know what year every 90s movie came out. Sometimes I'll just say the 90s, right?
Right. Michael Douglas is the man who has it all until his brother Sean Penn. Buys him a birthday present, which is The Game, which is like an augmented reality game.
So does he take out his iPhone and he sees...
No, this is before
arrows
then.
Pointing to certain
so
places.
It's kind of like a role-playing game that's happening around him.
Oh, wow.
Because
he's playing the role. of himself.
Right. But a bunch
the role he was born to play.
But, you know, normally his life's pretty humdrum, pretty boring. But in this game, a bunch of crazy stuff starts happening around him. And then they trick him into thinking that, like, no, the game is fake. This was actually a company stealing your identity so they can steal all your money.
Oh, brother.
And then they trick him into thinking that he shot his brother Sean Penn, and then he jumps off a building to kill himself, like his father had killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
But he crashes through a big skylight and lands in a big stuntman bag, a big fall bag.
Yeah.
And everybody's there. It's a big surprise party.
His brother cheers him with a glass of champagne?
He does, yeah. He does twice. He does it once and gets shot, and then the second time. Now, the second time he doesn't cheers him, he's got a novelty T-shirt he's made for him.
Oh, wow.
But
I love a movie that ends with a novelty T-shirt ceremony.
But the thing about the movie is, to everybody else that's at that party, I guess it was explained to them what's happening, and they're like, so we're going to get this guy to his lowest point where he's decided to kill himself, but then it's going to be a big surprise.
And this, like, is friends and family.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, there would be
I'll
a
lot
of...
I'll get him to kill himself the way his father killed himself.
Right. Yeah, we'll remind him a bunch of how his father killed himself by jumping to his death so that he decides to do it. But then it will be a big laugh at the end because it's just a fun party.
Tom, can I tell you something? I attended a surprise party this past weekend.
Was the member of honor tricked into committing suicide, and then they
not
didn't?
Even no, not even close.
Yeah, a surprise party is traumatic enough. You don't.
No, it was for my aunt and uncle.
Like, I imagine Michael Douglas getting out of the bag and just being like, everybody leave me alone,
yeah,
and having like a complete mental breakdown.
But as a guest at that party, right,
yeah,
it's enough pressure. And maybe this is just the specific anxiety that I have about the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate surprise parties. I hate attending surprise parties. I think they're all in good fun. I think
it's a nice
idea. But I'm always like, well, this is a lot. Like, I could be the one to screw this up. Anybody here can screw this up. And all that was asked of me was, like, get here before this time.
Right.
Don't park directly out front.
Right, yeah. Park in this lot.
Go where you're supposed to go at this time. And the entire time I'm just like, oh, no, I hope I don't do something to screw this up. I hope I don't screw up this whole party. I can't imagine if it was like, okay, show up here. You're going to come to this party. We're all going to drive this guy. Like, this is such a plan that needs to be perfectly executed.
Yeah.
That would be so much more anxiety to
somebody
like me.
Yeah, what if Michael Douglas is standing on the edge of the building? He's about to kill himself. And he's like, is that Roger from my old job? Oh, I'm late. Surprise.
Roger's only friggin' 3 minutes late.
Right.
He's walking from the parking lot.
I will. We'll move past surprise parties in a second here, but I will say that
surprise. Is that what you're going to say?
My problem with surprise parties, I don't have that anxiety. I have a little bit of that anxiety that you described, but I can normally take care of that by, like, making sure I'm there very early.
Yeah.
It's like
I've never seen you be very early.
Well, I was
going to
say, it's probably the only way you can get me early for something is if I think I'm going to ruin a surprise party. I'll be there very early. But then I get hyper conscious of everybody else and very mad that somebody else is going to ruin the surprise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, like, I've been at surprise parties where, like, people are strolling in, you know, when you're, like, waiting for the person. And somebody else strolls in, and you're like, get in here. They're like, oh, hey, everybody. It's like, get out of the way.
Shut up. We're being quiet at this point.
Yeah.
We're being quiet 10 minutes before we need to be quiet.
Yeah.
Just in case.
I've been at surprise parties where the person being surprised, like, and they're walking in with somebody else because, like, they ran into each other. It's like, oh, great. Now that person has a heads up. Real mad surprise parties.
Can I tell you about a surprise party, Tom?
This episode's about role-playing games, but go ahead. I'll allow it.
My mother-in-law had a party before I knew either of them.
Right.
For my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Seems weird that I'm using those phrases. Those are grown-up words.
the old battle axe.
She had a reverse surprise party for him. And I think you can only pull this off in the suburbs.
Okay.
Like, it was, you know, the weekend of his birthday.
Told him they were having a big party and then nobody showed up.
I mean, she calls it a reverse birthday party.
What I described as an actual reverse surprise party.
Tell me if this would ever work in 2019 where our communities are getting ever more fractured. Mm-hmm. Somebody would show up, like knock on the door and be like, hey, remember I was telling you about the book? I was, you know, out for a walk and I figured I'd bring this book by. And then my father-in-law was like, hey, come in and have a drink, whatever. Like, you came here. And then somebody else was like, oh, I have to. And like people would just show up.
Oh, okay.
One by one until he figured out, like, hey, all these people plan to be here. Hey, it's a party.
Right.
Has any one of your friends ever just stopped by your place?
No, but also...
Wouldn't it be nice if we had these kinds of lives?
I mean, it sounds like a great surprise party.
On Seinfeld, when they were like, oh, you can't do the pop-in. I would love for somebody to pop in. It's not that I have no friends.
I'm so lonely.
No, we have a robust friend group.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be nice if somebody just like came by one time? Yeah, shut up, Jerry Seinfeld. It's nice when Elaine comes by. Maybe not so nice when George comes by.
Right.
And also, wouldn't it be nice to just hang out in somebody's apartment all the time?
How did this reverse surprise party work in regard to like people coming together? Because I would assume, like, it would be like, well, all right, I'm going to bring, like, my wife and kids.
Oh, yeah.
Are we all going to come up to the door like, hey, here's that book. We all came up to the door. We're all going to come in.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Sure. I think he caught on very quickly.
Yeah, that may. I mean, I would catch on by, like, the second person, probably. Certainly the third.
Yeah.
But that is, I like that idea. That's fun.
It's a cute idea.
Yeah.
Hey, well done.
To your in-laws.
Yeah. I know they're listening. They're not listening. I don't tell them about this thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you want to keep them your in-laws, you shouldn't.
Why?
Because
they'll hang around with somebody like you?
No. They'll tell your wife to leave you.
What makes you think they haven't already told her to do that?
Tim, this week we're talking about role-playing games. Games where you play a role, not like the game that Michael Douglas played.
Well, he did play the role he was born to play himself.
Not too far off. Tim, I want to talk. All right, there are a bunch of different types of role-playing games. I want to start off talking.
Here's the common thread.
Mm-hmm.
They're all bad.
They're all bad? So I was going to say.
I'm just kidding. That's what I thought until I played one.
Well, I was going to say that I have had the unique pleasure of playing a tabletop role-playing game with you.
Yeah.
We were all at a tabletop. Nobody was under the table. Everybody was on top.
When you were a kid,
uh-huh.
Did you think it was a role-playing game because you'd roll dice?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. I only learned that wasn't the case.
The first time you played.
Yeah.
We played Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
The OG, as it were.
The original gangster.
Yeah. Do you know about, like, we talked about this a little bit off mic, not recently, but like when we were starting to play Dungeons and Dragons, that it came out of like people doing like war models and stuff, like just having like a big table and being like, all right, here, I'm going to like set up, you know, like revolutionary war style, like, oh, here's how it work. And the guy, Gary something or other.
Glitter.
No. that created Dungeons & Dragons. He was
wrote Rock and Roll Part 2.
He was into that.
Did some other stuff.
And then he was like, oh, I should come up with like a way to make this an actual game, not just like, you know,
a demonstration.
Yeah, I was just standing going like pew pew pew.
Why were they doing that? Who made the figurines?
You know, like little pewter figurines.
Computers?
Pewter. That's like what they were into. But then he came along. He was like, how about we like make an actual game out of this? And he was really into Lord of the Rings, like, you know, most nerds in the 70s were.
Gary Gygax?
Yes. And came up with Dungeons & Dragons.
You know what, Tom?
What?
You crap all over me for reading text messages about making $500 a week wrapping my car in an energy drink advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
But when you need to know who created Dungeons & Dragons or who wrote The Shadow, who's the guy that's looking
well, that's
at a screen
fine.
To figure it out?
Yeah, you can open your computer. Oh,
the dog's playing Jenga again.
I don't think it's again. I think it's probably the same video from the last
it's
time.
It's been on a loop the whole time. I've been looking at it this whole time.
Oh, you son of a bitch. All right. So Dungeons & Dragons, Tim. How do you start playing Dungeons & Dragons? Do you remember?
You create a character.
You do.
By rolling the dice.
Not just rolling the dice.
Rolling the 12-sided dice.
Not necessarily.
20-sided die.
Not necessarily.
Do you seriously want to see this dog playing Jenga?
The dog's walking away.
Yeah,
right
look,
now.
Sorry. Here, look, the dog is approaching the giant Jenga. He took it out with his paw, got it with his teeth. The owner stabilized the top when
yeah.
he walked away.
That was not that impressive, actually. I wish you had left that to the imagination.
Well, I was painting a picture.
I don't think that dog knew it was playing Jenga. I think it knew I'm taking...
No shit, Tom. No shit the dog didn't know it was
and
playing
Jenga. And he didn't put it back up on the top.
Yeah, that's true.
So the first thing you need to do, Tim, is come up with a character. You got the character sheet. You need to pick, like, what type of character
are
you
want
to play.
Are you an orc? Are you an elf?
An elf? Can you be a wizard?
Yeah, let's say a wizard.
You could be like an attack guy, like a brawler. Yeah, a brawler. That's what they call them. Mm-hmm. And there's like a bunch of, I mean, it goes on and on.
Right.
And we were playing a version that had like expanded characters. You were a cat man at one point.
Yeah. There's a barbarian.
Yeah, barbarian.
There's a bard. What is that, a singer?
That's a singer. I think we both wanted to be bards, and our dungeon master in this case, Taylor, was like, no.
The great man, Taylor Moore, really got fed up. He was the dungeon master. We stopped doing it.
We both want to be bards. We both just want to sing.
What did we do? Two or three sessions?
We did more than that. We did a bunch of sessions.
And the last one, he yelled at us for being so bad at playing Dungeons & Dragons and then we never played again.
Yeah.
Taylor, if you're listening, which you're not, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, there's no wrong way to play Dungeons & Dragons except when we play, apparently. Maybe things would have gone differently if we could have both played as bards. But you played as a cat person at one point, I remember.
Yeah.
I played as a bird person at one point. We mm-hmm. played two different campaigns.
Right.
So when you sit down to play a desktop or tabletop role-playing game, you're not necessarily playing it all the way. You have sessions. And a lot of times those sessions carry over multiple times. So it's like
episodes. A season of a TV show.
Right. You're not starting from scratch every time, which is one of the big allures of it. And
think
some
of
people...
it like the television show Fargo. Sometimes you're gonna be in the 1970s and you'll be Ted Danson for 12 times in a row. But then it might be the 1990s and you're that other lady who was in the first season. I don't remember the Fargo TV show.
Well, it's a good thing that you use that for an example. You could have used any other anthology TV show.
Name one.
American Horror Story.
All right, name a season and a character twice.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, see?
Well, that's why I didn't jump in. I thought I was doing a good job just explaining. It's campaigns and then sessions, essentially.
Mm.
And we played two different campaigns and a few sessions of each. I think we did two sessions initially, and then maybe like three sessions after that of a different character.
I hope somebody's writing this down because this is really good info. this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom?
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boo.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
But
I had to do the going up.
You gotta go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, and you enjoy social things, but
I do.
But
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin, or just not know, kind of like. You know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
don't want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah, what's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know, maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/complete guide.
All right, Tim. So after you figured out your character, like what race you want to be.
What?
That the races are like elves and gnomes and orcs, not the color of your skin.
Okay.
Once you figure that out and you figure out...
This is what always was so daunting to me.
What?
It's just so much... Like, how are you supposed to know what you want to be?
Well, the thing is, you don't... It doesn't really...
Just in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like in life, it's kind of... There are no wrong decisions. It's what you make of it.
Right.
And I think that was actually a thing that both of us had trouble with D&D. Because we... The it's very much the journey is the destination.
Right.
So you're not looking for, well, all right, well, I want my character to just be like overpowered, just the biggest badass can kill everybody just by looking at him. Because that's not even necessarily fun.
Yeah, you're building a story here.
You're building a story, and every character, every type of character is going to have its own strengths and weaknesses. And a lot of it's going to be how you play it and how you're, it's not, it is a game, of course, but, that you're not playing it necessarily to win. You're playing it to have an adventure, a grand adventure with your friends.
Until one of your friends gets angry and yells at you and stops playing.
Well, sometimes
he wasn't wrong.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you got yelled at because you just didn't know things that by that point you really should have understood.
Yeah, I also am a very cautious player, as I am a very cautious person in life.
Right.
And I think what Taylor, the Dungeon Master, taught me is that, you know what, maybe sometimes you just had to go for it and make a move.
Yeah.
And I wasn't making, like, my whole thing was like, I'm going to sneak around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you sure you don't want to storm the, you know, We were trying to get into our two characters had teamed up. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get into an event or something. There was like a ticket.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had to sneak into a place.
And I was just kind of like, ticketed. Yeah. And I was like, oh, we'll just sneak around and look. And he's like, you sure you don't want to go in there? And I was like, I think it's too risky to go in there. And he's like, well, if you're not going to take risks, blah, blah, blah. You know, like gave his speech, which was right? Like, you got to play the game.
Yeah. The two of us were both playing so cautiously.
And then
we were playing like it was our actual lives at stake.
Yeah. And then after I got that pep talk,
yeah,
my response to everything, and I think he thought I was mocking his advice, but really I was just putting it into action poorly. Every time there was like an opportunity for conflict, I was like, all right, let's light this guy on fire.
Right. You went completely the other way.
Yeah, exactly. And look, this is much like I operate in real life, and it's why Taylor and I aren't better friends in real life.
Right. You just operate black and white. There's no gray.
Exactly.
It's either you're too cautious or you're completely reckless.
I'm idling in the parking lot or I'm screaming down the highway at 100 miles per hour.
Wow.
In a drop top convertible.
Are you referencing something or are you trying to figure out?
With a...
See, this is... Tim, somebody flying down the highway in a drop top, they're not going to be this cautious in choosing their words. They're just going to do it. That's the problem.
Pedal to the metal, my friend. That's what I'm about.
So yeah, we were both very cautious playing, role-playing. And I think
And also, he'd be like, what does your guy say now? And I'd just be like, I don't know.
We had trouble, I think, with getting into what I understand to be one of the most fun elements of doing a role-playing game, which is inhabiting the role.
Right.
Just fully giving it your all of like, I'm a little goblin.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Neither of us did even one voice the entire time.
No. You know, and now I'm doing the goblin voice. I should have been a goblin.
You should have been a goblin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just sneak into the event. Methinks I'll take a key.
Methinks. That's the key to all role-playing games.
Yeah. We weren't playing roles enough, and I think we would have had more fun. Yeah. I think we both would have needed like a lot of drinks to really get into roles, but we should have done it.
It's really his fault for not giving us more drinks.
He gave us like unlimited drinks.
Yeah.
I think we were afraid to drink too much because then we were
drinking.
Well, no, I was going to say because then we would screw up the game and die in real life.
Yeah. the Dungeon Master.
Yeah.
Or another,
which we should get into, or the Game Master, if it's not Dungeons & Dragons.
That was the other thing that always confused me about RPGs. Mm-hmm. So there are the players that assume roles.
Right.
And they go on an adventure. But the adventure is being driven by this one person.
Yeah.
And it's a person who sits there and they have a story, or they've defined... The world that you're in.
They usually have like a little divider between them and everybody else.
Elitist pricks.
It's not a very big...
You can't see my note. Don't copy my test.
It's not like... I know sometimes when we travel for shows, you bring a dressing divider that you put up so that when you need to change your shirt sometimes... You'll put up this big divider.
And sometimes I think it's sexy to bring somebody into the dressing room and go behind that divider.
Yeah, well,
and,
you also you bring the divider.
Throw my clothes up as I change.
You bring the divider and then you bring a big spotlight so you can cast a shadow on the divider.
Yeah.
To have your silhouette.
And it's going to be better next year now that I've been on this diet, Tom.
You'll be more voluptuous.
No, it'll be less voluptuous.
Okay. It's not that kind of divider. It is maybe a foot-high divider. And behind that divider, they've got a map sometimes, and they've just got like a bunch of information. But they're not necessarily very scripted. they've got some stuff that's a little scripted, but a
lot
of times...
They have characters that are in certain places, so if you go to a place...
Right, so
they're
going to
assume that character.
Yeah, so they'll... Yeah, in a place, they'll have, like, all right, this character's here, and this character is a magician that, you know, is hiding this secret, but also has information about this thing, and it's kind of, and they're helpful, they're not helpful, that kind of stuff.
The dungeon master or the game master mm-hmm. has to do a lot of prep work.
Oh, a ton of prep work. And a dungeon master can make or break a game, I think. Like, you can't have a good game with a bad dungeon master, and you can't have a bad game with a good dungeon master. That's what my shirt says.
It's a great shirt. It's the novelty shirt that I'm going to give you when you try to kill yourself.
No, and that's what Taylor did fantastic. He would inhabit these characters.
Yeah.
And then we would not follow suit inhabiting the characters like he did.
Right.
Which we should have. He was doing accents and everything. He had all kinds of schemes worked up. I think me and you needed to, like, probably come up with a lot more backstory about our characters.
Yeah, I felt very
vulnerable.
Yeah, kind of scared me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, our experience was mostly just us being very scared. Scared of dying, scared of Satan taking us into the underworld because we got too much into it.
Exactly.
So that's another big element of Dungeons & Dragons, that it led to a satanic panic in the 80s, where parents groups and stuff and churches and whatnot, they didn't like all this make-believe. They didn't like all this pretending.
No.
That the kids were doing. They didn't understand it. They didn't want to understand it because it was Satan's tool, they thought, to get...
Now, why was this? Was this just his parents in the 80s just listened to whatever Nancy Reagan said? Was Nancy Reagan against Dungeons and Dragons? Because she's like, that's not true astrology.
I don't know if it got up to her level.
Huh. Nancy Reagan, blissfully unaware of role-playing games.
Right.
Because must be nice.
Because even in like the late 70s, early 80s, like, it still wasn't, it was still a nerdy thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so.
Tom, I got news for you.
So it wasn't like, oh, everybody was playing them. It was like, it was still a pretty small minority of people. And I think
But was it like the stereotypical nerds? Why were they like, well, these guys are the most Satan. Why were they picking on the Poindexters who were spending their Saturday nights rolling dice with their friends and not the Fornicators who were out at Makeout Point?
Because
they just figured the Zodiac Killer would take care of them?
Right. Well, I think that it was all, I mean, like most panics, it's that they didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand that this was a game. This looked like some kind of worship to them. And they didn't understand, like, wait a minute, you're playing a game with, like, dragons and demons and monsters.
Dungeons.
And dungeons. Like, what the hell is going on with this thing?
They're playing that classic game, Dragons and Dungeons.
And that's what kind of freaked them out, because they just didn't understand it. And they didn't understand, like, well, wait a minute. Like, where's the board, like a Monopoly?
Right.
There's either no board or there's a board, but like you're not necessarily moving, you know, pass go or whatever. You know, it's like a grid going on. I think they were just very confused by it and very scared. And the Satan's involved.
Yeah, do you think they'd come down into the basement and they'd be like, this is what we're doing. I'm the dungeon master. It's a game like Monopoly. And they'd be like, oh, the Dungeon Master is like Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Yeah.
He's the Dungeon Master of Monopoly.
Was it Pennybags or Moneybags?
Pennybags.
Pennybags. I mean, that doesn't sound very rich.
Well, Who would be the mascot of the Game of Life? Probably that clicky wheel, right?
Probably. I used to play not Dungeons and Dragons, but I would play, I've talked about this on the show. My neighbor had a Nintendo Entertainment System and I didn't. So
you didn't have an NES because you were a scumbag.
I later had
a Sega.
You're a
Sega kid.
Later.
Sega kids.
But I never.
And now, what did a Sega kid grow up to be? A guy that a guy that complained about the original Sonic trailer.
Yeah,
and called got in it some fixed. Death threats and got it fixed.
Yeah, Sega kids get shit done. Anyway,
man, imagine the Nintendo kids had the clout to fix 1993's Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I would go over to his house and play Nintendo. But
can I tell you?
He only
I got the Super Mario Brother movie year correct as well.
Good for you, very Tim. I'm bursting with pride right now. He only had Super Mario Brothers, so that was all we would play, and I hated it. I wish he had gotten more games. But I did have a friend that this is. Prior to us playing Dungeons and Dragons with our friend Taylor, who, by the way, he has, he produces
Rude Tales of Magic.
Yeah, a podcast which you should go listen to.
Very funny. Did we both look that up when we were talking about how Taylor yelled at us and how he's actually really good at what he does? Actually, Branton Reese is the dungeon master.
Right. Taylor's the producer on that show, yeah. I believe. Rude Tales of Magic. You should check it out. It's very good.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Or wherever you don't. I don't know what that means. Anyway, maybe people have ripped them, re-upload them to YouTube.
Yeah. I only listen to pirated podcasts.
That helps out hosts and everybody else.
Yeah, it's too hard to, or I don't want anybody to get the satisfaction of me listening through normal channels.
That's good. You're fighting the good fight.
Thank you. I am.
I never, so before playing with Taylor, the only time I'd ever played a role-playing game was with our friend Matt, mutual friend of me and you, Matt. When we were in maybe fifth or sixth grade, he invited everybody over. It might have been his birthday, a sleepover party. Everybody sleep over. And we were going to play the Star Wars role-playing game, the Star Wars tabletop role-playing game. Which is, I don't understand how kids in the 80s and 90s played role-playing games that they were able to like wrangle enough of their friends together to do it.
Because
why? I could, growing up,
I was always hanging out with five or more people at a time.
No, that I understand, but the idea of getting that many people to agree to play something like a role-playing game,
yeah,
and not have people just constantly fucking around, because that's what this Star Wars role-playing game experience was.
That's why it was the quote-unquote nerds, because
they were well-behaved.
They're the ones that could concentrate, like did well in school, and were like, hey, if I put some attention into something, it will pay off.
Right. Yeah. So he was trying to play with us.
A bunch of mooks.
And I remember we were all like, the adventure started, we were like chained up in a dungeon in Star Wars world, and it was like, all right, Tom.
What, Tatooine?
One of the worlds.
Tom, were you on Hoth?
It might have been. I don't remember the exact planet.
Were you on Jedi?
Dagobah?
Oh, come on, Tom.
What?
Enough with the slurs.
So it was like, oh, you're chained up. What do you do? And I was like, oh, I take out my lightsaber. And it's like, no, you don't have a lightsaber. You're not a Jedi. It's like, what? If it's make-believe, then I want to have a lightsaber.
Did you call it at the time a lifesaver?
I want to have a lifesaver. And I think that turned into like a very big argument. And then it was like, all right, fine. Everybody has lightsabers. Everybody's Jedi's. It's like, all right, I take out my lightsaber and I put it through an Ewok. It's like, well, why would you do that?
There's like, no Ewoks there.
Yeah. Now, I think there was an Ewok. And I was like, nah, I stick it right clean through him. It cauterizes. It's like, all right, well, now this is just going to turn into a fight where you get killed because you're a level one player. And it degraded very quickly. It wasn't very fun for anyone. I would like to go back and play it. I tried to buy, when I was a kid, I would go to the comic book store all the time, and they had a bunch of role-playing games, and they had a, I didn't realize this until like when I got a little bit older that the comic book store owner would tell my parents like, no, don't he can't have that. He's too young. And I wanted this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing game that was up on the shelf all the time. And I realized later like, oh, the reason why I was never able to buy it, even when I had the money, was because he was like, no, don't. And I was reading up about this. Listen to this. The original edition of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangeness was published with a section detailing a comprehensive list of mental illnesses, ostensibly drawn from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
This is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles role-playing game?
Yeah. And the... I'm not going to get into it, but the section of...
I don't want to say that this was a messed up game, but
the section that had the different forms of insanity featured an extensive list of sexual deviations, some of which are not deviations. They're normal. And this was in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle role-playing game. And some of the deviations were... not normal, very illegal.
What was the basis? Was it the cowabunga we eat pizza turtles?
It was the original.
The cool black and white comic book.
It was like the hardcore for teens.
Nice.
Original Ninja Turtles.
Original Ninja Turtles can go screw.
What?
I don't like those guys.
Those guys, they'll chop you up, Tim.
Yeah, I know, and that's why I don't like them. I don't like violence.
They don't abide by regular... rules. They've got real weapons and they won't hesitate to chop you up. Tim, what do you think of all the dice when it comes to tabletop role-playing games?
I like that there were a bunch of different variation of dice.
Dices. You like that there was a variation? I never understood why there was like, all right, you got the 6-sided and the 8-sided and the 20. Like, why is that? What's the deal with that? But then once we played it, it was like, oh, I get it.
It changes the probability of rolling.
Because sometimes
things.
You need to pick a number between 1 and 20 at random.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is to roll a dice that's got 20 sides.
Yeah. You didn't realize that sometimes that a 20-sided die would be used to choose a...
I didn't really understand where dice came into it.
Oh. Well, so it comes in a number of things, right? Yeah. You roll dice to establish...
Stats.
To establish various strength and intelligence
right
markers.
You're figuring out your character's got a bunch of different traits,
right?
And it's like, all right, on a scale of 1 to 10, how smart is this knucklehead? Roll a 10-sided die and it's like, you rolled a 1, he's a real idiot,
right?
So now if you're in a situation that's going to require you being smart, this character is not going to be smart.
So when you do have a situation, let's say you're facing down in a battle of wits with somebody played
right.
by the dungeon master. The mm-hmm. dungeon master will tell you, hey, you met this friggin' sentient squirrel that you have to outsmart in this smarts contest.
Right. Or you might even, it might not even be a contest. You might say like, I'm going to use my intelligence to figure out how to get around this guy or how to trick him.
Right. And so he'll have...
I'm going to try tricking this squirrel.
Yeah, so he'll have his own... The squirrel will have his own kind of set of statistics. And so the dungeon master will roll for the squirrel. You'll roll for you on the same die.
Right.
On the same sided die.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you'll add your intelligence, your baseline intelligence, and the squirrel will add his baseline intelligence,
mm-hmm.
and you have to beat the squirrel if you want to get by.
Right, and if you're a very smart character because you've given yourself intelligence stats, then you're going to do better. Or even if you have a crappy, you might risk that because it's like, even if I have a crappy
role. Does everybody
role,
know this stuff?
I don't know. I didn't know this stuff.
I didn't know this stuff either. And that happens with all conflict. So I wish we could solve the world's conflict through the roll of a dice.
Well, that'd be risky, though, Tim.
What do you mean?
Because what if you roll snake eyes?
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Well, that's real life, too.
No, it's loaded dice that we're playing with right now.
God's loaded dice.
No, the Illuminati's loaded dice.
Oh, no.
Jeffrey Epstein's all loaded right. dice.
You know what? I think we should probably solve a problem.
Hello, and welcome to Tim and Tom Solve Your Problems. I'm Tim.
I'm Tom.
And we're going to solve a problem from a lucky listener who wrote in. If you'd like your problem solved, email us at thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com. That's thecompleteguidetoeverything@gmail.com.
Or googlemail.com. That'll work, too.
Will it?
Yeah.
Tom, Kumail Nanjiani.
Okay.
Funny man.
Mm-hmm.
Very good actor. Oscar-nominated writer.
Mm-hmm.
Joining the
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He's in Eternals.
Okay. He is one of the stars of Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh.
Have you watched Silicon Valley this season?
I've only watched the premiere so far.
So he plays this like weirdo nerd
programmer
guy. But in real life, things are going great for Kumail. Like over the last decade, he's really...
He's in a Marvel movie with Angelina Jolie.
He's risen through the ranks. He's so in shape and like buff now when he's playing this loser character.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And he probably was at the same time had to get into like Marvel superhero shit.
Yeah. And so he's still very funny, but it's just like, man, something's not adding up with this guy's performance.
Yeah. This guy looks like he's got it all figured out.
And he's playing this meek loser
who
can't have a friend. Yeah, whatever. Dear Tim and Tom, this comes from...
Why'd that come up? I thought you were going somewhere.
No, I said Gmail instead of Gmail, then it sounded like Kumail. I'm going to use this guy's real name.
Okay.
I think.
Does he allow that?
He doesn't disallow it.
All right. Well, you use your discretion.
Oscar is his name.
Okay.
Dear Tim and Tom, I've got an issue in need of your master problem-solving skills.
Who do I give the Best Picture Award to?
Oh, you went Oscar.
Yeah.
I was going to go Grouch-related.
And what would your joke have been?
Why am I such a grouch? I currently attend a Spanish class every morning and have been doing so since the start of August.
Okay.
This came in November 9th, Tom. So August.
Pretty fresh.
September, October. Like a little over 3 months. Every morning.
Mm-hmm.
You think he has weekends off?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe you should say every weekday morning.
Well, come on.
The way in which we're taught the language means applying personal interests and stories to topics in order to learn, discussing our favorite holiday as a way to practice past tenses, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that after 3 months of classes, I think I've actually run out of small talk. There are simply no more ways to rehash the same story about seeing the Great Barrier Reef as a kid in different Spanish tenses. I'm concerned that, as nice as the people in my class are, I actually have to start divulging personal stuff to them in order to apply new forms of Spanish grammar to... oh, and nobody really wants that. Pretend that sentence made sense the way I read it.
Okay.
Can I just start lying and create a more elaborate life story instead of interests? If so, what would you recommend making up? Or with 6 months to go in the course, geez, this is a long course.
Jesus Christ.
This is a full year? No.
9 months.
Okay. Will I be eventually caught out leading to more embarrassment than repeated small talk currently does? Will he get found out?
Right, right.
Thank you so much for the show. My dad initially linked it to me, thinking it was some Bill Bryson thing about 8 years ago. But now it turns out it's been so much more than that.
Mm.
His dad was like, hey, Oscar, smarten up.
Yeah.
Here's a smarts podcast.
Yep. Smarten up. Here's a smarts podcast.
I don't know what happened to me, Tom.
You haven't eaten. You were talking earlier about how you were dizzy.
Yeah.
You've had a couple of beers. You're telling me you just assume you've lost weight because you're not eating anything.
I mean, I know exactly
what's happening.
I'm eating things. I'm eating, but I'm only eating healthy things, so I'm not eating a lot because I don't like eating healthy things.
I got some almonds to offer you later
that
you're not going to believe.
Are they buffalo dusted?
Tim, I've got habanero barbecue. I've got salt and vinegar.
What?
And I've got soy sauce and wasabi.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And guess how much I've got of each?
A can.
A goddamn pound.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to need somebody to take some of these almonds off your head.
I'd be happy if you ate some.
Oscar, happy for you to use my real name.
Oh, okay. There you go. You know what's weird? I was thinking about, like, I don't know. I took, like, 7 years of Spanish or something. If I nowadays took 9 months of Spanish, I would assume by the end of the ninth month, I would be fluent and have, like, a pretty close to impeccable accent.
Yeah. It's because when we were learning Spanish,
we
were the biggest pieces of shit.
Right. Yeah. It was right after I was trying to learn how to play a role-playing game.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well, you couldn't just play pretend about Star Wars here. Learn a new language.
Right.
With my hormones going crazy.
How did that affect things?
It was all I could think about was just the latest issue of Maxim.
Yeah, I was thinking of the latest issue of FHM.
Yeah, learn how to say this in the past tense. Not unless Carmen Electra's on the cover.
Yeah, or Vendela.
I forgot about Vendela.
You remember Vendela, Tom?
Yeah, the tennis player?
No, she was a model.
Oh, okay.
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of, what was it? What was
Anna Kournikova?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kovala. That's what they called her.
No, it wasn't.
Anyway. I'm curious if Oscar's classmates are running into the same issue.
Yeah, it seems like Oscar doesn't want to divulge much about his life.
Yeah, also I'm wondering about Oscar's past that he's got to be so cagey about, like, oh, they can't know too much.
Yeah, they can never find out that I live in a trash can. There it is.
Yep, there.
They'll judge me.
I'll go back. I'll edit out where you said your joke was going to be about Oscar the Grouch, and then you can really hit it out of the park with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about, I think you could also probably say to the teacher, hey, I don't really, can we maybe do a different subject? Like, you know. Talk about like a TV show we watched recently or a movie we recently saw. Recount that kind of a thing, because that would practice your Spanish just as much. Like, oh, tell me the plot of the last movie you saw.
El Iron Man.
The Hombre de Iron.
Yeah, I was gonna try to construct a sentence in Spanish, but alas, I've only studied it for 7 years.
Right, you can't be expected to be able to put together an
just
entire
one
sentence
simple sentence.
I'm saying, like, I saw Iron Man. It was full of action.
Ah, Christ. Or you can just do what we've been talking about, man. Build your own character, but don't tell anybody it's a role-playing character.
Yeah, come up with a whole crazy background. Like,
get this guy Taylor to yell at you.
come up with a whole background, write it all out in English.
Yeah.
I'm assuming English is your primary language.
I don't know. Here's what it says at the bottom of his email.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Enviado desde mi iPhone. iPhone.
Oh.
Maybe that's just him practicing in his
so he writes his signatures in Spanish to practice?
Yeah, I want to know more about what... Oh, man, I have so many questions about Oscar.
What are your other questions? Maybe I can answer them.
No, it's just... We'll talk about this later.
All right. Yeah, come up with a whole backstory, write it all out in your native language, and then just stick to that. Or talk to your instructor.
And learn how to say orc in Spanish.
Orco. Or talk to your instructor and say, like, hey, I'm out of shit to talk about. I got a real boring life.
Mind if I use Steve Urkel's backstory? Talk about how I turned into Stefan Urkel.
Good luck trying to come up with a timeline of Steve Urkel's backstory. It's all over the place.
Oh, man. A role-playing game based on the...
Family Matters?
Family Matters Perfect Strangers universe. Right?
Yeah.
You could play as Balky, or you could maybe encounter Balky.
You could play as one of Balky's cousins from Meepos.
Oh, man.
Coming to America for the first time.
Nice.
And then you can encounter all these characters. You would have to roll for ridiculousness. If you like the show, you can find out more at tcgt.com. You can like our show on Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at Your Pal Tim.
If you want to support the show, support our sponsors. Check them out. Also, check out tcgt.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping needs. And patreon.com/Complete Guide for our secondary podcast called Books the Podcast. We are wrapping up the book Interview with the Vampire. Tim's finishing up reading it, the last quarter of it. And then a week after this one, I'll be watching the movie, which is full of hunks and Kiki Dunst.
Hunks and Dunst.
Yeah. You can't ask for a better movie than that. I'm excited to... I remember watching it like on HBO when
really?
I was young. Yeah, because it would be on like late at night when you'd be like, let's see if anything has any nudity on it. And that was a movie that would have some nudity.
Really?
Yeah, of course. You described a bunch of nude scenes. This is how we drive everybody to the Patreon. Like, oh, nude scenes. Oh, I got to sign
just
up.
You're just driving them to whatever streaming service has Interview with the Vampire.
Well, look.
Do you know which streaming service has Interview with the
look,
Vampire?
Look, save yourself.
No, you're just going to pirate it.
Save yourself a few bucks. I think it's still on HBO. Mm. Save yourself a few bucks and just sign up to patreon.com/completeguide. You can hear all about the nudity.
Mm. What's better than me describing nudity?
Right. It's way better than seeing it. Tim, yeah, that's about it for role-playing games. I would say I would like to play more tabletop role-playing games. I enjoyed playing it. I think it's a fun social activity. I feel like as we're getting older, we need to have like more, so maybe, you know, not necessarily role-playing games, but like game nights and things like that.
Yeah.
Because when we were younger, it was like, hey, we're all going to go drink. That's enough of a lure.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't drink that much anymore. This old liver.
I got a good
this
gig.
Old liver is pickled by this point.
Pickled liver.
Yeah, but can I pretend to be a dragon? Now you have my attention.
Tom, I got a good game night in the works. And
okay.
Guess what? There's a short list of people.
Uh-huh.
You're on the short list.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Is it just me?
Yeah, it's just you.
Okay.
Bring your dog.
Oh, okay. She's not very good at games.
No.
Unless you got one of them big Jengas, then she's very good at it.
Glad you got what I was setting you up for.
All right, we'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.